Off the Ball. GAA.
A fantastic role, Mab Dwalos. And for us as young people coming in, the Lee McCarthy wasn't coming in them first couple of years, but the O'Duffy Cup was there every year.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Best odds guaranteed at Cheltenham. We're Cheltenham ready. Are you 18 plus? See gamblingcare.ie.
Welcome to episode 17 of The Racing Pod on Off the Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Remember, we're here every week with analysis, race previews, tips, stories, crack, and interviews. The first half of the pod each week is free to air, and the second part is exclusively for members. Be sure to sign up by going to offtheball.com/join. For members this week, we will preview Saturday's Imperial Cup at Sandown and Sunday's Leinster National at Naas. Subscribe for all the juicy info. The tips are going well, Johnny Ward. Last week's nap from yours truly, Cheltenham, 17-2. I saw it on my feed when I was at Tottenham.
Yeah, hopefully it's Cheltenham to Cheltenham and no hell in between, because it's a big week, 28 races. Cheltenham did it well.
Yes, did course and distance winner, and thankfully we're looking at them in the right way at the moment. Yourself, obviously, as well. You've had a great run on the tips, and
you're under the weather though. I don't think you're doubt for Cheltenham, are you?
No, I'll be there. I'll be travelling on Sunday, and
I did scope wrong,
but I will make the race course.
Unlike Constitution Hill,
I will not be under the whip, but yeah. I will be
hand ride.
I'll be on a special pod with yourself and Tom Malone this week, every morning from 10 o'clock, Tuesday to Friday, at Cheltenham. We're looking forward to that. All the latest news in the course, all the market moves, all the final predictions, all the very much last gasp stuff you need to know for Cheltenham.
Yeah, I was actually over in London doing a kind of a preview for it yesterday, and like, it's strange. Cheltenham kind of can do this to me, where I bemoan the way Cheltenham has gone in terms of Irish dominance, such that we had, this was mentioned in the Racing Post during the week, and I thought this was one of the most staggering statistics I'd seen in racing ever. Three horses on day one in the seven races were single figure odds trained in Britain in seven races. Three horses were less than 10-1 trained in Britain in the first seven races. But as the podcast went on yesterday, you know, the races are still extremely intriguing. It's just a matter of what horse Willie Mullins wins some of them with.
Yes. 148 horses declared for Tuesday, the opening day. 82 of them Irish trained.
Mm.
When I last looked at Odds Checker, there were Irish favourites in every single race.
Mm.
So sporting rivalry, I really believe, is the essence of sport. Competitiveness is the essence of sport. You pointed out to me that at Leicester today, there's 26 runners over six races, including a walkover. There's too much racing in Britain. They need to have a rethink. They need to cut themselves on and make the investments that's required to make their sport more competitive. Because if you had Punchestown here, where English and French horses and trainers and owners were coming over and winning most of the races, we'd find it very strange, I think.
Well, I felt like an imposter yesterday, because I was staying, we were doing the recording in Chelsea, which is a very nice part of London, as you probably know, JD. I was kind of going through it and got into the lift with this well-heeled local woman, and she was talking to me, and we ended up in a conversation about the Coen brothers in the course of a lift that went down like four floors. So I was like, this is a nice start to Chelsea. But as I'm walking around, I'm like, how many of these people care about Cheltenham? How many people will care generally next week? And how many people in the English audience will care when we're basically so dominant now that some of the established British trainers feel like imposters in their own country? Because as we were doing the preview of Cheltenham, there were references to like Alan King, like, I'm not bringing a horse to Cheltenham for the day out. That's not it anymore. I think Alan King will run a couple of horses throughout the week. Paul Nicholls is kind of avoiding the festival with a lot of horses now. Staggering state of affairs.
It's just strange.
Staggering.
And it was huge advertising for Cheltenham. If you go to the Tube, like at Christmas time, it's advertised. And to be fair, the last few years, their facilities are much better. It still is the amphitheatre that you want it to be. The grandstand's fantastic. You still have over 60,000 people there. Gold Cup Day, you'll have 68,000 people there. That's a lot more than 20 years ago. But still, it is just, maybe it's cyclical, but I just wonder, we were speaking to Nick Luck during the week, and he's on the Saturday panel on Off the Ball tomorrow, and he goes, well, we're hosting, we are the theatre for it, but surely in the BHA and these organisations, there's a pride thing to say, you know what, we want 20 winners at Cheltenham, we don't want the away team having 23 winners as they did 3 years ago.
But what do you do?
I think it's investment. It's care. It's they need to look at their program. They need to try and source better horses.
It's complex and multi-layered.
It
and
is. Yes, it's not a thing that you can solve in a soundbite and a racing pod.
If you were to ask me to predict whether British racing would be dying on its feet or dead in 10 years versus British racing would be having more winners than Ireland again at Cheltenham, I'd say the former was actually more likely. I don't see it being turned around.
The flat racing seems to be in a better space
to an extent, but the flat racing economy is based on selling horses. If they're very good, fair enough, they might go to stall, but selling horses to like the Middle East or to Australia or to the Far East, where there's proper prize money. So prize money is at the heart of the situation, not only in Britain, but Ireland as well. And Ireland is facing some difficulties on that score. But the owner in British racing seems to have gone. And this was pointed out to me during the week. Regular British racing now, the day-to-day stuff, is the equivalent of a bags meeting in the greyhound industry. And it kind of is, because if the British top class racing is such that they're borderline and irrelevant on the Tuesday at Cheltenham, what is the day-to-day stuff? Yeah. We can't even feel two runners in the first at Leicester.
And that's why, look, the wheel, I'm sure, is there. And if they can, they just need to change the way they look at it. Because we want, like, you don't want Ireland winning, you want Ireland to win at Twickenham on Saturday, but you don't want them to win by 50 points.
100%.
You want a British racing sector that's competitive and that punches equally with Ireland at Cheltenham and makes it more fun from a competitive point of view.
Well, you'd say, like, you look at the rugby and... Was it, who was the great out half? It was his, I think his 70th
birthday. Ollie Campbell.
Ollie Campbell, I think, was talking during the week where he said, like, he almost had to reinforce to the local, to the modern rugby fan, guys, you got to enjoy this because, like, it wasn't always like this. But if you talk to the Irish rugby fan now, and he or she will probably say it hasn't been a really amazing Six Nations because Ireland have been so far ahead. And if Ireland win by, say, 30 points against a kind of a downtrodden English team, who are doing okay in fairness, but aren't what they were, I don't think a lot of Irish fans would be like, I preferred it when it was very competitive. And racing's a bit like that. I get no pleasure out of Ireland winning 25. Ireland could win 23, 25 race out of 28 next week, very, very feasibly. One bookmaker today... Like, this is literally the worst prices, one of the worst prices I've ever seen, went 1 to 20 that Ireland wins more races than... Like, that is literally buying money. That can, unless you, like, shoot at the boats coming over, Ireland will, like, I'm telling you, like, the convoy of boats being stopped at Holyheads apart, Ireland will win this in an absolute canter. I'm not on about the rugby here, I'm on about the Cheltenham. But I'm not enjoying it. I'm not enjoying Ireland because if Ireland has a British racing industry that's on its knees, the Irish racing industry itself, given how small the national game is, can only suffer.
Yes, okay.
But where are the British owners?
Well, hopefully be more Alex Ferguson's and that massive amount they spent on Caldwell Potter. You want more of that.
Mm.
And we were in the same position in 1999 where we'd no winners at Cheltenham.
Mm.
Now, to be fair to Cheltenham Racecourse and the British racing people, they brought in the bumper to help Irish racing. Oh, you'll have a winner, the bumper. And then the Celtic Tiger happened and then you had 10 winners in 2006 and it's kind of rolled on from there. It's 9 years since there were more British trained winners at Cheltenham, 2015 than Irish trained. So look, I do want it to become more level playing field. It just punches 10 away then otherwise. 10 to follow. I was going through the 10 to follows we picked on the very first pod in November. So
this is a mixed bag at best, anyway.
So in the 10 to follow, you have Factophile, Johnny. You have Lossy Mouth and you've Mashburth. That's not bad.
Three.
You got three with big chances this week.
Three. Literally three. Well, you've Gaelic, that's terrible.
You have Gaelic Warrior and Let's Be Clear About It.
Gaelic Warrior actually might well run.
Yeah. Let's be clear about it. Could have a chance.
He likely run, yeah.
The Real Whacker has kind of gone off the ball.
He's likely to run.
And then the other ones.
Bird of Road is injured, to be fair.
Yes, as is Marine Nationale, another one of your picks. Yeah. Mirrors or West, I don't think is going.
He's running tomorrow.
And on Tubber, I don't know what happened to him.
On Tubber, Tubber's been a bit disappointed, albeit he hasn't disgraced himself. Actually, in hindsight, they're not the worst. Mirrors or West could well rock up at Cheltenham, but Willie has... My point is he could have if he were with another yard. But like I was counting yesterday, one of the novice races, Willie had 17 left in it. 17 horses left in one of the novice hurdles, one of the grade ones. 1-7, 17. Like, that is way more than you'll have British winners this week.
I'm not much better, to be honest. I did a Ballyburn in mind, so that's the one good thing I have to say. Ballyburn and Factofile are my two decent ones.
And he's a Factofile is a horse I'm kind of opposing at Cheltenham at the moment because I think he's just too short.
He's in your 10 to follow.
Mm.
Sander Clegane, who is going to run in the Brown Advisory on Wednesday.
Put up by some very shrewd judges.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Kalam, I put in, but on
chance.
And then the rest of the Mirrors are West, kept at home. Imperial Pass, I probably got to Aintree. Mr. Policeman be named for Ferry House. Spring to La Mer, yet to see the best of him. Monbeg Genius of Grand National and Marine National is injured.
Mm.
So we decided what we're going to do. We're going to refresh this, folks. You know the way you reset your refresh your computer or whatever. Three horses to follow in the handicaps at Cheltenham this week. Now, we've got the Daily Show, but the Daily Show will probably feature big analysis of the big races, the Champion Chase, Champion Hurdle, Gold Cup, Stairs, Ryanair Chase. So the handicaps, sometimes we can kind of forget about them and they might be just put in a tip or whatever. But you got three to follow in the handicaps this week, Johnny. What are they?
My three to follow. I'll start in actually the order I send them to you, just because I'm actually really bad with when races take place. Cheltenham, you're way better than me at this, JD. But my three, the Fred Winter is probably the first. Fred Winter's on the first day?
That's the juvenile hurdle, the Boodles.
Which is annoyingly called the Boodles, even though, like, you don't
it's
call...
It's just a sponsor, the Boodles sponsors. No disrespect to the sponsor.
You don't, but no, it's absolutely... You don't call the Gold Cup the Boodles, because Boodle sponsors the Gold Cup. So the Fred Winter is named after an amazing man in Fred Winter. Its sponsor at the moment is the Boodles. So in the Boodles...
4.50 on Tuesday.
Milan Tino.
John Joe Neal Jr. to ride for Nick George and...
One of the most unusual horses to tip in a Fred Winter, because I also mentioned this during the week. Of the races, get rid of all the mares races, right, for a start. They're actually like sexual discrimination races. Three races at Cheltenham where you can't be a male and running them. Crazy stuff. And they're keeping Lossiemouth away from, State Man, probably anyway, and all that. Like, the mares races are a load of rubbish for me. Run them anywhere, but not at Cheltenham. So all and a lot of the races that...
What do you mean by that? What does that mean?
Sorry. The races that they brought in to make it a four-day festival, get rid of them, right? Including the Mayor's races. No place at Cheltenham, in my view. They shouldn't be there. Dawn Run wouldn't have won a Gold Cup and a Champion Hurdle now. She'd be running the Mayor's races and nobody would even remember, right? But the one race, this is a very long-winded way of saying, the one race they brought in that I've always really liked, because I backed the winner in it the first year, Dabaroon, and just because I like the race, is the Fred Winter. It's a four-year-old handicap. It's the only handicap for the four-year-olds. And the way this horse has been handicapped, Milan Tino, is fascinating. He came over from France. Apparently, the French handicapper allotted him a mark of 136. After one run, when he was just behind Bird of Road the last day, he was dropped 10 pounds, even though he went too hard in front. He's very much National Hunt bred, so I'm not sure what the ground is going to be like, but it won't be very quick at all. And I think he's a horse that will appreciate it. And he jumps well. And he's plenty of experience for a race like this in the Fred Winter.
So you're saying this is actually against the mares, that they shouldn't, you know, this is discriminatory against the mares to actually have mares races?
So it's discriminatory against geldings. Sorry. So there are three races at Cheltenham where geldings literally cannot run in them. Mm. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, we don't think about it that way. It's like, so mares only can run these races. Like, all these geldings, you have to go into way, way, way better company, take on 17 Willie Mullins horses in one race. Whereas the mares race are like, they, by putting on more races, they're actually helping the bigger yards to split horses up. So the mares races, as much as the mares now Novice Hurdle is a good race this year, they're just they have a place, not at Cheltenham, and I really mean that from the bottom of my heart. Like, Lossiemouth should be taken on State Man. Dawn Run, like, what she did for this country, she wouldn't have run in those races nowadays.
Yeah, okay. Your second horse is?
My second horse is, away from the political paranoia here, Meeting of the Waters, in the Ultima.
Which is the second JP McManus owned horse you're tipping now, because he bought him
like, well, officially he bought him a couple of days ago. I don't know when he bought him, but he was down as the owner a couple of days ago. The last Irish Train winner of the race,
was it Dundera?
In 2006 or 7
yeah, around
6
there.
Maybe, which is incredible. I remember Dundera was a horse that I was a bit of a fan of. He won the tie yesterday. I think he got in as a reserve, and Ruby gave him an incredible ride at Cheltenham. But Ireland haven't had a winner in this race in the guts of 20 years. This year they have a good turnout. A Meeting of the Waters, named after that beautiful part of the Vale of Avoca. I don't know if you know it, where two rivers meet. Is it Avonmore and Avonbeg?
Did not know this.
And it's a beautiful song as well, Meeting of the Waters. So it's going to be well named. And I think this horse still looks well handicapped after his win the last day, which was only really his second kind of run when well fancied, put it that way.
So this is on the first day again, is it? This is the 250 on the Tuesday.
Was owned by Patrick Mullins, Then owned by Paul Byrne, then owned by JP, and this is in the space of like a few weeks, basically. Intriguing runner. He bought two horses this week, JP. He was one of them.
The third handicap pick for you for
my
the week
third
is?
Handicap pick then, built by Ballymore.
When is this? What's race?
The Coral Cup.
This is on the Wednesday.
So Ballymore being the sponsors, obviously the old sponsors of the Ballymore Novice Hurdle, Sean Mulryan, who has Faster or Slow, and an epic song, who was second in the race last year for Martin Brassel.
So he's had two second place finishes in recent years.
Yeah. An epic song denied by Langer Dan in this race last year, built by Ballymore with Martin Brassel, has a incredible finishing speed in his races, and I think he's gotten in off 139.
Yes.
Which, like, some of the handicapping of the Irish horses is really bizarre. So Good Time Johnny's handicapping is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. It literally is a joke to handicapping the mark he gave him. It makes no sense whatsoever. But built by Ballymore doesn't look badly in. If he's close at the second last, watch him go.
250 Wednesday on the Carl Cup.
Let's have your three.
My three are James de Burlay on Thursday in the Festival Plate. If he runs 10 past four, was in the places in a grade one stairs hurdle at Punchestown. Then they ran him in the Paddy Power chase at Christmas, and he ran really well from the front, and I don't think he got home. I think he's got a touch of class, and over 2.5 miles on maybe better ground, if they run him out from the front, he's a good jumper. I think he could be a better class horse than a lot of these handicappers, James de Burlay, if they put him into the plate on Thursday at 10 past four.
Ground is definitely it's one thing.
Dry week forecast. And there's good drainage at Cheltenham. I know the water table's been high, but the ground does dry quickly there. Mm. So I think you'll have the softest ground of the week on Tuesday. Mm. You'll have the faster ground of the week. Now, I'm not trying to say it's going to be like all over good, but if there's no rain, I think it'll be on the quicker side come Thursday, Friday.
Yeah, the clerk of the course is saying there was a kind of a mixed forecast the weekend, so they weren't really sure. So just keep an eye on what happens. I think is it tomorrow into Sunday. But just be conscious of the fact that the rain that they've had over the last 12 months makes this a different Cheltenham to normal. So if you're a little bit kind of powder dry in the first couple of races, no harm in that. See how they get through it.
The second one I'm picking is Lo de Sud in the County Hurdle on Friday, 10 past two. Dan Skelton is a magician when it comes to this race. The horse had ulcers earlier in the season, that's why he didn't run well at Cheltenham, but he was second then behind Iberico Lord in the Betfair Hurdle at Newbury, and Iberico Lord has been supplemented for the Champion Hurdle. I think that form is obviously good, and Lo de Sud has got a good weight in this. I think he's got a really good chance each way for Dan Skelton at the County Hurdle. The last one is Gavin Cromwell's Encanto Bruno, wherever he goes, but he might go for the Martin Pipe Hurdle on the Friday at 5:30. He needs decent ground to me, and he's won at the course twice, and he won over 2.5 miles at the course earlier this season on a really good ground, won well, has run over shorter distances on worse ground since then. I think over a longer trip again on better ground, I think he could be overpriced in Canto Bruno.
Fascinating runner, and we'll talk about two of his the connections runners, the Leinster National, later on the show.
Mark Bradstock, just want to pay tribute to him, passed away, very sad news, may he rest in peace, and condolences to his family. Really good trainer, 66 years of age, he had a long illness, he trained Coney Gree to win the Cheltenham Gold Cup in 2015.
He deserves so much credit for that. The horse was a novice, and I remember, I think I laid him in running thinking he was going too fast. It was an incredible performance, but he was an anachronism in terms of jumps racing, how we could do with something like that, you know, in going forward, and may he rest in peace.
Only the fourth run of offences for Coney Gree, who was bred by his father-in-law, Lord Oaksey, the former journalist, John Oaksey. I was going to do a bit of digging last night. John Oaksey's father was the lead British judge in the Nuremberg trials.
That is bonkers.
Yeah,
that is bonkers.
So, you know, the fascinating.
If you go down lineages, like you can get into.
It's Geoffrey Lawrence was his name. And I just want to say, Mark Bradstock, he must have done about 1,000 interviews the day of Conny Greaves Gold Cup, and he still gave me time and he was still sound.
You remember little things like
that?
Yeah,
you do.
Speaking of lineage as well, right?
Yes.
So Mouse Morris lineage of Lord Killannon, right?
Yes.
Because who's the horse that's having his fourth chase start in the Gold Cup?
Chatham's game.
There we go.
You've definitely told us to keep an eye on for weeks now. So, folks, Gentleman's Game for the Gold Cup. We'll probably mention him again on Friday. Just before we kind of finish off this part of the show, Stratford as well. It's not too far from Cheltenham. There's always a Monday meeting there. Is it a thing that you always notice? Some people try to make their bank for Cheltenham at Stratford. Oliver Brady, the late Monaghan trainer, used to have a winner or two there.
I've never been to this meet now, and I do remember the year of the high winds where Cheltenham had to call
2008,
off 2008.
Yeah.
2008. What they called off one of the days.
Yes.
And there was a busload of Irish lads descended in the local Greyhound track on the day, and the local Greyhound track had never seen anything like it. But Stratford, I'm just looking at the entries here, JD. I'm not sure do we have any Irish entries.
Okay.
Which is a pity, because Stratford was like the Irish banker when you were getting sort of the plane or the boat over on the Monday, if you're getting there a day earlier. Who has Oliver Brady running?
He's passed away obviously since Oliver.
Yeah, so now Anthony McCann in the plate there and doing a fine job. I'm not sure we've any Irish runners, but keep an eye on it.
Okay, so Gentleman's Game, keep an eye on him. And also make mine a double J. We'd helped him last week at 8.5 to 1. What is your pick for this week for the...
My pick, we'll talk about it later on in the show, runs in the Leinster National, and you mentioned fancying a horse of Gavin Cromwell's and running the Kieran's colours. I am tipping one of the two. I'm just looking at the weights here in the Leinster National. Velvet Elvis is 11.6. But Heart or Dark has 10.3 on Desperately Testing Ground at Naas in the 4.37 Sunday, the Leinster National.
That's Heart or Dark your Make Man a Double Day J tip. And my one is Has Thing in the 150 at Sandown on Saturday at 3-1 in the colours of JP McManus for John Joe O'Neill Senior and Junior at Sandown. So that's Make Man a Double J. This is the Racing Pod and Off the Ball. If you're listening to the free version of the podcast, we'll be leaving you here. But if you're looking for more, including our analysis of the Imperial Cup at Sandown on Saturday and the Leinster National at Naas on Sunday, go to offtheball.com/join to subscribe and get the full podcast every Friday with all of our racing tips, insights and stories from the week's action.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Best odds guaranteed at Cheltenham. We're Cheltenham ready. Are you 18 plus? See gamblingcare.ie.